Think you know what love is? You don't know what love is. We talk with Michael Haneke about amour on this episode of Mighty Movie Podcast. Hey, I'm Dan Persons, and welcome to yet another unusual episode of MMP. This time, we're featuring the press roundtable with director Michael Haneke for his new drama, Amour. If you haven't heard a lot about this film, be prepared to hear a lot about it in the coming months. In telling the tale of an elderly couple, played by Jean-Louis Trintignant and Emmanuel Riva, having to cope with the changes that come when one of them suffers a severe stroke, Haneke has taken the singular outlook he's demonstrated in such films as Cachet, The Piano Teacher, and The White Ribbon, and created a film that's searing, empathetic, and indelible. It's the best film I've seen this year. So, this is the situation with the roundtable. Haneke understands and speaks English, but he's a little cautious about his abilities, so he's using a translator here to give his responses. I've tightened things up where I could, but I thought it was important that you hear Haneke in his own voice as well as the translation, so I've left his original answers in German in. I think you'll think it was worth it. Here we go. Your film is being called a very humanist film, and I don't argue with that. However, I seem to feel there's something else working underneath it. I seem to feel that really the point of the film is to get us to that end point, that essentially everything in the film is working to get the audience into a position where they have no option but to condone the unconscionable. Was that your goal? And if so, where did that desire come from?
Das ist aber jetzt deine Interpretation, was eigentlich nicht nachvollziehbar ist, oder ist das das, was er gesagt hat? Ja, also den Eindruck, es regnet. Den Eindruck habe ich nicht. Also es war jedenfalls nicht meine Absicht, das in irgendeiner Weise zu kommentieren, sondern ich zeige etwas und hoffe, dass jeder seine eigene Meinung dazu hat. Aber ich habe versucht, die Form so offen zu wählen, also jetzt auch von dieser Szene, dass es möglich ist, ganz unterschiedliche Meinungen dazu zu haben, die ich auch schon gehört habe.
That's not my impression. My impression is that I'm not trying to comment on or condone what I'm showing. On the contrary, I'm trying to present the film entirely, and this film, that scene in particular, in such a way that it's open to interpretation, open to any number of interpretations that I've heard since presenting the film.
The title of the film is very simple, evidently, but at the same time it's very provokingly simple. I've heard that it was not your first choice, and why did you go with it?
Weil ich keine bessere gefunden habe. Ich hatte so also ungefähr 20 Titel, die mir eingefallen sind, die mir alle nicht gefallen haben. Und wir waren beim Mittagessen mit Jean-Louis, habe ich diese Titel vorgelesen und gesagt, die gefallen mir alle nicht. Und er sagt, der Film handelt doch von der Liebe, warum heißt er nicht Liebe? Und das fand ich sehr überzeugend. Ich hätte natürlich niemals diesen Titel für eine normale Liebesgeschichte gewählt. Das wäre ein bisschen peinlich.
I chose the title because I couldn't come up with a better one. I had a list of about 20 titles, none of which I was satisfied with. And one day I was having lunch with Jean-Louis Trintignant. I read him the list of titles and told him I wasn't happy with them. He responded and said, the film's about love, why don't you call it that? And I thought that was a very convincing argument. However, I never would have, I'd been making a conventional love story, I never would have chosen that title for it because it would have been too obvious.
For Trintignant, it was probably a very personal project because, as we remember, he did the famous A Man and a Woman, and then he did a sequel to that, A Man and a Woman, 20 years later. So for him, it was probably A Man and a Woman 50 years later. Did you talk about this symbolism with him?
Da müssen Sie ihn fragen. Also wir haben nie darüber gesprochen.
You'd have to ask him about that. We never talked about it.
Außerdem, ich bin kein Fan von Man and the Woman.
I'm not a huge fan of the Man and the Woman.
What was the effect of shooting particularly on Emmanuel Riva? You take her to a place where even in films that are supposedly looking at this subject, most films usually turn away before you do. Considering the amount of time and her coming back day after day to this role, what was the impact on her?
Du schaust dahin.
Also wie ihr das, ja, da muss er sie fragen, das weiß ich nicht. Aber sie hat in den Interviews immer behauptet, sie hat das alles mit großem Vergnügen getan.
You'd have to ask her that. I can't answer for that. I don't know what her answer was, but in the interviews with her that I've read, she's repeatedly claimed that it was a huge pleasure making this film.
Did you observe anything when during the shooting?
Beobachtet?
Naja, also sie, wovor sie eine panische Angst hatte, war das Fahren mit dem elektrischen Rollstuhl, weil das gar nicht so einfach ist. Also wir mussten Abende an zwei Abend bevor die Szene war, musste ich mit ihr also üben, Rollstuhl fahren, weil das auch in der Tat, ich musste das auch vorher lernen, um mir zu zeigen, dass es nicht so schwierig ist, wie sie meint, aber das war eigentlich das Schwierigste.
The one scene that was very difficult for her, she was scared to death of the scene with the electrical wheelchair, manipulating it with the joystick, and so we spent two evenings after we'd completed shooting for the day, two evenings getting used to the electric wheelchair. In fact, I had to learn how to use it before she did, so I could show her and reassure her that it wasn't that difficult.
Did you do any preparations? Any researches for the...
Ja, natürlich. Also die Geschichte ist ja, die mich dazu angestoßen hat, mich mit dem Thema zu befassen, war völlig anders. Und ich habe das einfach recherchiert. Ich war in Krankenhäusern, Altenheimen. Ich habe mit Ärzten natürlich gesprochen und auch war auch bei so Kursen, wo also Leute, die einen Schlaganfall haben, wieder sprechen lernen, um das alles zu wissen, wie es geht. Und musste das ja auch dann der Emmanuelle vormachen, damit sie, weil sie wollte das nicht selber machen. Sie hat also Vertrauen zu mir gehabt, dass ich ihr da das Richtige sage. Und es war natürlich selbstverständlich, dass man die ganzen medizinischen Details und das alles richtig recherchiert.
Yes, of course. It was necessary for me to... the story that there was motivated to me... The personal story that motivated me to want to deal with this theme had nothing to do with what you actually see on this story that I tell on screen. So it was necessary to spend a lot of time doing research. I went to hospitals, spent time in old age homes, talked a lot with doctors, and also sat in a number of sessions of speech therapy where stroke victims learn to regain their speech. Emmanuelle didn't want to do the research herself. She asked me to do it for her and then show her what she had to do, and she had that trust in me, and that's how he worked. But it was important then that we have that precision and accuracy in the film.
You start the film with what could be called an happy ending, so just you reveal everything in the very beginning, and the whole film is a kind of a continuous flashback. So I understand that this is a very crucial, important structural decision you made. Is it because just in order to eliminate any kind of suspense for the viewer? Is it correct? Can you elaborate on that? Give insight, just the... Was it the...
No, es war genauso. Ich wollte also diese falsche Spannung weghaben, weil es ja ohnehin nach kürzester Zeit klar ist, wie das ausgehen wird. Also darum kann es nicht gehen. Es geht darum, wie findet das statt, was ist der Weg, war interessant, nicht das Ende, das ohnehin klar war. Und das wollte ich von vornherein klar machen.
No, it's exactly what you say. It was the want to present the ending of the film at the very beginning to eliminate any false suspense. Anyway, it's very clear quickly in the story how it's what the only possible ending for it is. But what interested me wasn't the end, how the film ended, but rather the events that led, the process that led up to it.
Well, because you started it with the death, the film deals directly the entire time with mortality and death, whereas so many films, that's sort of what you're leading up to. Did you want to make a film that just dealt with that?
I didn't hear it. So many films deal with what?
Use, you know, death as sort of the end point or the thing that you're leading up to the whole time, but this time you...
In den meisten Filmen geht es so dem Tode zu, aber der Tode...
Ja, der Tod ist nicht das Thema vom Film. Das Thema ist, wie gehe ich mit dem Leiden eines Menschen um, den ich liebe. Also es war mein Thema, war das, was mich interessiert hat.
What interested me, the thing that interested me wasn't death per se, but rather the question is, of how do I cope with the suffering of a loved one?
I've read something about advice to the young couples. It sounds a little bit funny. So the quote is, the film should be shown to any couples considering getting married and committing to life together. So
who said that?
That's one of the I read in the reviews. It's just
also das hört man jedem jungen Ehepaar sagen.
Zeiten, bevor sie lange Jahre miteinander zu verbringen.
Ja. Wir haben nichts dagegen.
I have no opposition to that.
Gibt's mehr Publikum?
That means there could be a larger audience.
So I'm gonna ask you a question in German in order to be sure to put it right. Also Sie haben ja jetzt schon mehrere Filme gemacht, die in Frankreich gedreht wurden und auf Französisch. Und da ich hier für eine französische Zeitung in New York schreibe, würde ich gerne wissen, woher diese Frankophilie kommt. Vielleicht wäre es ganz gut, wenn die Frage dann nochmal übersetzt wird.
Could you translate that to English, please? Okay. Thank you.
He is our general translator.
You've made many films in France and in French, so since I'm writing for a French newspaper here in New York, I'd be curious to know where your love of France comes from.
Naja, ich habe in der Schule erst einmal Französisch gehabt, statt Englisch, was ich heute noch bedauere. Nicht, dass ich Französisch hatte, sondern dass ich nicht Englisch hatte. Aber weil man das heute überall braucht, jetzt brauche ich einen Übersetzer. Aber es war halt in der Zeit, als ich in Ihrem Alter war, war Frankreich und Paris das Ziel der allgemeinen Sehnsucht jedes Intellektuellen. Ja, jeder hat nach Frankreich geschaut. Da war der Existenzialismus, die Nouvelle Vague, das war die große Zeit. Heute schauen alle nach Amerika. Also es hat sich sozusagen in meiner Generation automatisch ergeben. Und dann habe ich eben durch Zufall hat mich die Juliette Binoche eines Tages, die hat meine österreichischen Filme gesehen und hat mich angerufen und gefragt, ob wir nicht was miteinander machen wollen. Und das war der Beginn der Zusammenarbeit mit Frankreich. Und es ist dann ganz gut gelaufen.
Back when I was at your age, then it was France that was the pole of attraction for young intellectuals, the object of our desire. That was the age of existentialism of the Nouvelle Vague. And I'm sorry, I left out a couple of sentences before, so I'll just backtrack. When I was going to school, I studied French rather than English. I'm sorry about that now. Not that I learned French, but rather that I didn't learn English as well, since English is spoken everywhere and be very useful to. I'd be speaking to you directly now. But at the time, France was the pole of attraction with existentialism and the Nouvelle Vague. Now everyone's looking to America. But it was simply a matter of chance, this collaboration. Juliette Binoche had seen my Austrian theatrical features and called me up and suggested that we work together. And that led to our first project, and the collaboration has worked very well since then.
I have a related question about language. When you go to write a script, do you see it as a French language film first and then write it in French, or do you write it in German and then translate?
Ich kann nur Deutsch schreiben. Also dazu kann ich nicht gut genug Französisch, aber ich habe seit meinen ersten Filmen den gleichen Übersetzer, und wir arbeiten dann, der übersetzt es und dann arbeiten wir zusammen. Also ich kann gut genug Französisch, um zu beurteilen, ob das dann in Französisch das ist, was ich auf Deutsch gesagt habe, aber ich kann es nicht selber schreiben.
No, I'm only able to write in German. My French isn't good enough. Ever since I first started writing for French films in French, I've worked with the same translator. He does a first draft of the translation. We revise it together. My French is good enough to be able to judge whether what the dialogue that he's written is what I'm looking for.
When you make a decision to translate into French, is that based on that the actors that you want to work with? Do you say, oh, I have these actors in mind, they're French actors, so I'm going to need to translate this into French? Like, how do you decide to set a film in France? Or
wegen der Schauspieler, oder was sind die Gründe dann?
Naja, also in dem Fall war es der Grund. Also der Film ist deswegen in Frankreich gedreht, weil ich eben das Buch für Jean-Louis Trintignant ja geschrieben habe. Aber ich habe auch für deutsche und österreichische Schauspieler immer wieder Rollen geschrieben. Also ich glaube, dass es effizienter ist, also für einen Schauspieler, den man kennt, Rollen zu schreiben, weil man dann mehr auf seine Vorzüge eingehen kann. Und also, wenn das möglich ist, nicht immer möglich, aber wenn das möglich ist, tue ich das natürlich.
In this case, yes, it was because of the actors that I wrote the script in German. I wrote the script specifically for Jean-Louis Trintignant. There are other cases where I've written it similarly for specific German or Austrian actors. It's a more efficient means of writing a script because you're able to write to the strengths of the actor when you know who it is. But that's not always possible.
Do you think that if this story had been told in America, how would this story be? Would it be different if the actors and the characters in the film were American instead of French?
When
would there be any difference?
Wenn du in der gedreht hättest.
Bei dem Film?
Ja.
Naja, das ist eine Frage. Den Kopf habe ich mir nicht zerbrochen, weil es von Anfang an klar war, dass der Jean-Louis das spielen soll. Also mir fällt jetzt kein amerikanischer Schauspieler in dem Alter ein, der diese Ausstrahlung hat, die ich für den Film gebraucht habe.
I never really thought of it because from the very beginning it was clear to me that I wanted to work with Jean-Louis, so I never had to, I can't right now come up with the names of any actors who would have been able to play that part. Mm-hmm. Certainly none who have the aura, who exude such warmth that he does, that I needed for the part.
Aber es ist, ich meine, man kann das vorher nie sagen. Also ich habe zum Beispiel beim Weißen Band habe ich die Rolle des Pfarrers für den Ulrich Mühe geschrieben, den Sie vielleicht von kennen durch das Leben der anderen, der bei mir auch in mehreren Filmen mitgespielt, der sozusagen mein Lieblingsschauspieler war, und der ist dann halt gestorben, dann musste ich jemand anderen finden, und am Anfang habe ich gedacht, das ist völlig unmöglich, und dann ging es doch sehr gut. Also das, man kann das so theoretisch schwer sagen.
That said, you never know in the case of the White Band, I'm sorry, The White Ribbon, I'd written the part of the pastor for Ulrich Mühe, one of my favorite actors, who'd acted in several of my other films and who you may know as the lead in The Life of Others. He, unfortunately, died before I made the film, and I thought I'd never be able to find someone to replace him, and however, I was lucky enough to, so you can never tell beforehand.
Did you choose to set the majority of the film in their apartment to illustrate sort of the new confines of their life?
Ja, na sicher. Also es ist ja so, wenn man krank wird, reduziert sich das Leben auf die eigenen vier Wände. Das war sozusagen der äußere Grund. Der ästhetische Grund war natürlich, dass das ein sehr anspruchsvolles Thema ist und ich auch eine anspruchsvolle Form wollte. Also diese klassische Form der Einheit von Ort, Zeit und Handlung schien mir angemessen für so eine Reduzierung, die der Geschichte angemessen. Ja.
Yes, when you're old or elderly or infirm, then your life is restricted to the four walls that you live in. That was the external reason for the choice. In terms of the aesthetic reason for the choice, then it was clear to me that when you're dealing with such a serious theme as this, you have to find an appropriate theme that's fitting to it. That's why I went back to the three, the forms of classical theater, the three unities of time, space, and action, which seemed appropriate for the reduction of their lives.
Did you attempt to shoot this film in sequence, given the limited setting? And if not, how did you take your actors through the extremes of the states that they have to go through?
Hast du den Film chronologisch gedreht?
Ja, also wir haben es versucht, chronologisch zu drehen. Der einzige Ausnahme war der Traum, weil da mussten wir die Dekoration umbauen. Und dann waren wir leider gezwungen, weil sich der Jean-Louis die Hand gebrochen hat, im zweiten Teil des Films ein bisschen Änderungen vorzunehmen, weil es einfach Szenen gab, wo die geschwollene Hand nicht ins Bild kommen kann. Aber im Prinzip haben wir chronologisch gedreht.
We sought as far as possible to shoot the film chronologically. The one exception was the nightmare sequence, which we left for the end because we had to tear down the sets and rebuild them. In the second half of shooting, we had to make changes because, unfortunately, Jean-Louis had broken his hand, and for that reason, we couldn't. His hand was swollen. We couldn't show it in certain scenes and had to leave them for later in the schedule.
You do a lot of long takes, plan séquence, which I think is good because it adapts to the old couple rhythm of life, very slow, very everything is long. But also I was wondering if you don't use sometimes this plan séquence to force the spectator to see what he would like to avoid, like for example the meal scene or the toilet of the old woman whose body is unresponsive.
Yes.
That's cruel.
Since the fate of the main female character is predetermined and revealed in the opening sequence, so I think that the focus of the attention, and I would say suspense, is some at one moment is focused on a pigeon, and I was watching the film at the press screening at the festival, and at the press conference, when this question was asked, you said that it's up to the viewers, just describing the symbolism of this scene. And my neighbor joked that if it would have happened at the earlier stage of your career, the pigeon would have been killed. And now the message is that now you are not into torture, into cruelty, but more like the, you know, humane and mild.
Mir ist alles recht. Also man kann sich ja gegen Interpretation nicht wehren. Also ich hab nichts dagegen, wenn er das so sieht, soll es mir recht sein. Vielleicht sieht er es nach dem nächsten Film wieder anders.
I'm okay with every interpretation anyway. There's nothing you can do about people's interpretations. I'm open to them. Perhaps that the vision of me will change again after my next film.
I don't know.
Do you have a script for the next film?
Not yet.
Can you describe the idea?
Not at the moment, no. No, I have no time. I have to give it.
Yeah.
So if you're okay with whatever the audience takes away from it, if people approach you to...
Ja, ich kann gar nicht anders als okay damit sein.
Das I have to be okay.
Das ist mein Schicksal.
That's my fate.
However, if they approach you to get you to endorse their stand in favor of euthanasia, are you willing to sign on for that?
Ich unterstütze überhaupt nichts.
No, I wouldn't sign on to anything. I don't support him.
Das ist nicht meine Aufgabe.
That's not my task.
If you're writing a film like this in sort of questions rather than themes, like how do I deal with the suffering of a loved one rather than just death, was there something in your own life that sparked these questions for you?
Ja, natürlich, aber darüber will ich nicht sprechen. Das ist meine Privatangelegenheit.
Yes, of course there was, but I don't want to talk about it. It was a personal, private experience.
Could you talk a little bit about the use of music or the theme of music in your films? I've noticed that you seem to be drawn to people who are musicians or characters that are musicians or people who have a love with music. I mean, even that one scene in The White Ribbon where they're playing the organ and the fact that the characters in Amour are both music teachers, and there's that, you know, devastating scene where she's playing the piano and he's, you know, he imagines her playing the piano, and of course she can no longer play the piano. And I just wondered if you had been trained in music or played music or had a music teacher in your life, or if it's just an interest that you have.
Ja, na, ich bin, das ist ja bekannt, ich bin ein großer Musikliebhaber. Ich wollte als Jugendlicher Musiker werden. Also wenn ich mir aussuchen hätte können, da oben, wo die Geschenke verteilt werden, was ich werde, dann wäre ich lieber Komponist und Dirigent geworden als Regisseur. Aber ich bin jetzt auch ganz zufrieden. Aber Gott sei Dank hat mein Stiefvater, der selber Dirigent und Komponist war, ich habe viel Klavier gespielt und habe mir gedacht, das würde reichen. Und er hat mir Gott sei Dank rechtzeitig gesagt, dass ich zu wenig Talent dafür habe. Aber das hat, dafür bin ich ihm heute noch dankbar, weil es gibt nichts Deprimierenderes als leidlich begabte Musiker. Aber es hat mir meine Liebe zur Musik bewahrt. Deswegen versuche ich natürlich, wenn es irgendwo geht, die Musik zu verwenden, ohne sie zu verwenden als Verdecker meiner Sünden, ja, also meiner inszenatorischen Sünden, was gemeinhin der Fall ist. Also Filmmusik ist, aber ich liebe die Musik zu sehr, um sie zur Vertuschung meiner Fehler zu benutzen.
When I was a young man, it was my dream to become a musician.
Wenn ich mir so aussuchen hätte,
gut. If it had been up to me, if I'd been there when gifts were bestowed, talents were bestowed, then I would have liked to have been a musician rather than a director.
What instrument?
I'll come to that. I would have liked to have become a conductor and a composer. Fortunately, as a young man, my stepfather, who himself was a conductor and a composer, warned me that I was only a very mediocre pianist, and that steered me away from wanting to be a musician and led me eventually to become a director. I'm very grateful for the warning, because there's nothing more depressing than a mediocre pianist, concert pianist. Nonetheless, I've maintained my love of music and always enjoy, whenever possible, to use it in my films when the occasion arises. But I don't use it in the same way as mainstream cinema, as is usually done in cinema, where it's applied to cover up my directorial sins and weaknesses. I love music too greatly to use it for those reasons.
Do you think other filmmakers use music as a crutch?
I don't think so, I'm sure.
Because the pianist in the film is an actual concert pianist.
Was? Der Klavierspieler im Film ist ein wahrer Konzertpianist, Alexander.
Ja, ja, ja.
Yeah. And how did you just discover his music? Like.
Na, wir haben Casting gemacht sowohl mit Schauspielern als auch mit Pianisten, und er war unter den Pianisten der beste Schauspieler.
We did auditions for actors and for pianists, and he was the best actor from among the pianists.
Going back to that question, what do you think are the mistakes that other filmmakers make in their use of music?
Was ich davon denke?
Was die Fehler sind, die andere Regisseure machen.
Ja, also die Frage ist ja, welche Art von Kino man macht. Wenn ich ein Genre-Kino mache, wenn er so ein Italo-Western ist, ohne die Musik von Morricone kein Italo-Western. Ja? Das sind Genre-Filme, das ist was anderes, da hat Musik ihre Funktion. Aber in einem realistischen Film, und die meisten Filme, die also irgendwie, also auch Actionfilme, geben ja vor, realistische Filme zu sein, ist Musik eine Lüge. Im wirklichen Leben gibt es keine Musik, außer sie wird entweder im Radio gespielt oder ein Musiker ist da. Ja? Und deswegen, wenn in solchen Filmen Musik vorkommt, ist sie immer nur dazu da, die Spannung zu erzeugen, die der Regisseur nicht mit der Inszenierung geschafft hat. Und dagegen bin ich. Ich habe überhaupt nichts dagegen gegen Musicalfilme, die liebe ich. Ja? Ich liebe Filme mit Fred Astaire, ja? Das ist wunderbar. Das ist was anderes. Oder Genrefilm, also Hitchcock ohne Bernard Herrmann ist nicht Hitchcock. Aber das sind keine realistischen Filme. Beim realistischen Film hat Filmmusik nichts zu suchen. Das ist eine schlechte Eigenschaft, die wirklich immer nur dazu dient, die fehlende Spannung zu ersetzen oder die fehlenden Emotionen zu ersetzen.
It really depends on what kind of films you're making. If you're thinking, for example, the spaghetti westerns, that if you're making genre films, then spaghetti westerns without the music of Enrico Morricone, What's Ennio Morricone is inconceivable. So music has a fiction in that kind of films, but in most films, music is only present to fill in emotions that are otherwise lacking. Most films claim to be realistic, and the use of music in them, therefore, is a lie. In real life, we never hear music in our lives unless it's played on the radio or the television or a musician is present. Music is used then to make up for lack of tension that the director hasn't managed to create. I have nothing against musicals, for example. I love the films of Fred Astaire, and similarly the films of Hitchcock without the music of Bernard Herrmann wouldn't be Hitchcock, but those aren't realistic films. Music in conventional cinema is usually used, or almost always used, to make up for what's lacking in tension or emotion because the director has not done his job properly.
As a writer and director with a very definite vision, do you find that you're very demanding of your actors, or do you put a lot of trust in them and let them sort of live through your characters?
Well, verlangst du viel von deinen Schauspielern, oder traust du ihnen eher?
Ich traue ihnen und ich verlange viel.
Both. I have a lot of trust in my actors and I demand a great deal from them.
wenn ich ihnen nicht trauen würde, könnte ich nicht viel von ihnen verlangen.
If I didn't trust them, then I wouldn't demand much of them.
In this country, it's really hard to talk about, discuss the assisted suicide. Mature manner. Yeah. There was a case of this. I don't remember the guy's name, but he was the British citizen who fought to the death about him killing himself, having an assisted suicide, and the court turned him down, and he died right after that, but. I'm just wondering whether it would be any different. Is any different in Europe? Whether you can have a mature conversation about keeping your dignity and talk about the assisted suicide in a rational manner.
Da muss Leute fragen, die sich da mit der Materie mehr beschäftigt haben. Also ich fühle mich da nicht zuständig.
You'd have to ask people who know more about that question. I don't feel that I'm in a position to answer that question.
Were you at all concerned about avoiding making this film about assisted suicide? Was that present in your mind as you were composing
the film?
Ich wollte einen Film machen über die Frage, wie gehe ich mit dem Leiden eines Menschen um, den ich liebe? Und daraus ergeben sich eine ganze Reihe von anderen Fragen. Aber ich gehe nicht an einen, ich gehe nicht an einen Film ran über ein Thema. Also ich würde nie jetzt sagen, ich mache einen Film über Sterbehilfe oder über die Vermeidung von Sterbehilfe. Das ist ein Zugang, der mir völlig fremd ist. Ich gehe immer über persönliche Empfindungen ran, weil ich was erlebt habe oder weil mich was geärgert hat oder also über Themen ranzugehen, das ist so eine Fernsehdramaturgenposition. Die sagen, wir haben ein neues Thema, darüber wird viel in der Presse gesprochen, jetzt machen wir einen Film drüber. Das ist nicht meine Zugangsart.
As I said, I didn't want to make a film about assisted suicide. I was looking to make a film about how one copes with the suffering of other people. There were any number of related tangential issues, themes that are touched upon because of that question, but I never seek to deal with themes. That's never my approach. My starting point is always a feeling I have, something that I've experienced, something that I've witnessed or read about, and that emotion leads me to want to explore the question. It's the opposite of the approach of television, which seeks to says that, there's the theme of the day, the theme of the week, let's make a film about it. That's not my approach.
Ich glaube, dass es ganz gefährlich ist, immer noch gefährlicher ist auf politischer Ebene, also einen Film zu machen. Jetzt gibt es das Thema X, weil das in der Presse und im Fernsehen viel besprochen wird. Und jetzt macht man einen Film dazu. Was dabei rauskommt, ist meistens eine Peinlichkeit. Es gibt in der ganzen Filmgeschichte höchstens eine Handvoll Beispiele, wo das gelungen ist.
It's always dangerous, especially politically, when you decide to make a film about a theme where for the television, well, it's discussed in television, you say, oh, this theme is being talked about a lot, it's a very hot topic, so we'll make a film about it. In all of film history, I can only think of a handful of films that have dealt with themes successfully. The results are usually quite terrible.
Also the künstlerisch successful one, ne? Also the content show. Das ist eine andere Frage. Also vom Publikum her kann das schon funktionieren.
When I say talk about the handful of films that have been successful in film history, I'm referring to films that are successful from an artistic point of view, not from a box office commercial point of view.
And yet, you say there are political dangers. Yet, in many of your films, you deal with topics that eventually step on some potent political landmines. You're not afraid of doing that?
Nein, weil ich es nicht unter dem Gesichtspunkt tue, ich habe es ja gerade gesagt. Also wenn man ein Zeitgenosse ist und von irgendetwas ernsthaft spricht, wird man automatisch natürlich so zu viel Wundepunkte in der Gesellschaft anrühren. Aber es kann sozusagen nicht der Auftrag eines Filmemachers oder eines Schriftstellers sein, sich vorzunehmen, jetzt über einen wunden Punkt zu schreiben oder einen Film zu machen, ja, in der Gesellschaft. Sondern man will irgendwas erzählen und das trifft so und so viel, weil man ja in dieser Gesellschaft lebt, benennt so und so viel Fehler in der Gesellschaft. Aber das passiert sozusagen automatisch. Also
That can't be the starting point for an author or for a director. If you're a contemporary, if you're living today and you're dealing with contemporary reality, then automatically you're going to and want to talk seriously about the society that you're living in, then you're automatically going to touch on raw points. You're going to, you can't be a filmmaker or author and not write about them, not touch on them. You can't avoid that. But the point is that you're not seeking to exploit those. That's not what you want to talk about. Rather, they follow from the issues that you're dealing with, your vision of.
And was wolltest du hinzufügen?
Ob ich vergisst. Nein, ich wollte sagen, weil ich habe in meinen Filmen öfters jetzt über die Medien geschrieben. Ne? Aber das habe ich auch nicht getan, weil ich über die Medien schreibe, sondern weil mich das jedes Mal aufregt. Ja? Weil ich da wirklich, also weil ich ja ein Teil dieser Medienlandschaft bin und es sozusagen als meine unmittelbare Aufgabe sehe, mich dazu zu äußern. Weil es mich betrifft, auch weil es mich ärgert.
In many of my films I've talked about the role of the media in our society, and not because that seems to be an important point theoretically, but rather because I'm part of that media landscape and because it touches me and I'm part of it and angers me. That's really why I want to deal with it, because of the emotions that it creates in me.
Ich glaube, theoretische Filme sind auch fürchterlich langweilig. Und gut gemeinte Filme sind noch langweiliger.
Theoretical films are terribly boring, and well-intentioned films are even more boring.
You're here.
Talking about actors, the main duo is magnificent, and it's incredible. But and also Isabelle Huppert as their daughter, she's very up to the point and to the task. And that's, you worked with her before, and she was in piano teacher, and now you invited her to this movie, to this film. What sets her apart from other French actresses of her generation?
Naja, sie ist einfach eine großartige Schauspielerin. Es gibt noch eine ganze Reihe anderer von großartiger Schauspielern und Schauspielerinnen. Ich schreibe ja nicht nur für sie, aber wir verstehen uns sehr gut. Ich bin ja ein treuer Regisseur. Also wenn ich mit jemandem gut zusammengearbeitet habe, dann versuche ich, diese Zusammenarbeit fortzusetzen. Also das ist ja auch mit den deutschsprachigen Schauspielern, gibt es also etliche, mit denen ich immer wieder arbeite. Einfach, weil man nicht bei Null anfängt, wenn man einen Schauspieler neu kennenlernt, da muss man erst mal drauf kommen, wie man miteinander kommuniziert und so weiter. Wenn man das schon effizient getan hat und es gut funktioniert hat, wäre es ja blöd, wenn man es nicht fortsetzen würde. Und insofern ist das nur eine ganz normale Konsequenz, dass man weiterarbeitet. In dem Fall war es einfach eine Freundlichkeit von ihr, weil sie ist ja gewöhnt, Hauptrollen zu spielen. Und weil wir befreundet sind, habe ich sie halt gefragt, ob sie diese doch kleine Rolle spielt. Und sie hat das natürlich ohne Zögern zugesagt.
She's one of a number of actors and wonderful actors and actresses of her generation. But the reason I chose her is that, or one of the reasons that I chose her is that we've worked together before. We get along together, and as a director, I'm very faithful. If I've collaborated, if a collaboration has worked out well together, if it's been friendly and efficient, then I like to stay true to my actors. It would be senseless to change, because once you've worked together, you've learned how to work to communicate efficiently. Then it would be stupid to break that off and not want to continue on the basis of that understanding. It's in this case, she agreed to play the part for me as a personal favor. She usually plays leading roles, of course, and here she, was asking her to play a supporting role. She accepted without hesitation.
You might not want to answer this question, but I wonder, since it is such a personal film and deals with such a personal subject, it may be, I don't know if you would consider it to be the most personal film that you have made thus far. I wonder if you discussed it, the content of the plot of the film, with your family prior to making the film, and if they, what their reaction was to it, or if they had any qualms about the film.
Nö, also erst einmal sind alle, die älter sind als ich, in meiner Familie schon tot. Und also was wir, das habe ich ja auch in Cannes bei der Dankesrede für die Palme gesagt, meine Frau und ich, wir haben uns versprochen, so wie die in diesem Film, uns also alles zu tun, dass der andere nicht in ein Heim oder ins Hospital abgeschoben wird. Das ist das Einzige, was ich dazu zu sagen habe.
No, first of all, my parents are dead, and second of all, as I said in my acceptance speech for the Palme d'Or in Cannes, that my wife and I have promised each other that we'll do everything in our power to avoid the other person being shunted off into an old age home or a hospital at the end of our lives, and that's really all I have to say about the question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Amour opened in New York and Los Angeles on December 19th and will be going wider following that, and you would do well to seek it out. It's rough, but it's fantastic. You can see the trailer and get the link to the official website over at mightymoviepodcast.com. If you want to write me, please send that email to dan@mightymoviepodcast.com. And if you're listening to this around December 19th, come back on Friday when we will have Jack Houston and Steven Van Zandt talking about their work on David Chase's feature directorial debut, Not Fade Away. Another unusual show, and good for it, too. Thanks for listening. Have fun. This has been a production of Upstart Company NYC, copyright 2012, Dan Persons, all rights reserved. No unauthorized duplication permitted.